Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You're crazy.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Vile Files Ask Nick edition. Happy Monday, if it is your Monday morning routine, and if you are finally getting to us, welcome.
It's kind of cool that you're part of people's morning routines.
Glad to have you. Chrissy, how are you?
I'm freezing. How are you?
You look like it.
I know. I'm like wearing a parka. It's so cold today. I'm fine. It's fine. I love it.
I'm glad you're warm. I don't know if we have much to talk to before we get to our callers. We got some great callers who joined us today. Don't forget to send in your questions at asknick@castme.com, cast with a K. Love your submissions. We appreciate the people who do write into the show and share your stories. Obviously, it's the lifeblood of this show. If there's any new people to our Ask Nick episodes, welcome. I think you'll enjoy what you're listening to. Join us for our recaps and our interviews coming up. Is that it? Follow us on Instagram.
That's pretty much it. We're kind of boring. Now that the new year's over, I feel like we're boring.
What are you talking about? Edit that out. We're the most exciting people ever. Don't forget to follow us on social, doing a bunch of new things on our social media accounts, specifically Instagram. So check us out, Vile Files on Instagram. And if there's nothing else, let's get to our callers.
Question time with Nick. Let's ask Nick your sexy questions.
How's it going?
Hi, I'm doing good. My name is Natalie. I am 28.
Hi, Natalie. How can I help?
Okay, so I originally sent in a question about a guy that I ghosted, and I had asked you if I can reach out to him. And I'll just tell you the backstory really quick. So We met on a dating app, we met on Hinge, and we started talking, and it was really quick that he asked me out. And at first I was a little hesitant, but I was you know what? He seems really nice and whatever. So we meet up, we go get dinner and drinks, and we had a great time. We met up at 6:30, and by 10:30, the date was starting to end, but we still wanted to keep hanging out. And so everything was going great, and during the date he was he even asked for a second date and was saying all this stuff oh yeah, I'll go do this with you. And so I'm just thinking in my head, okay, this could be a good guy, you know? Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the night, we talk about going somewhere else to another bar. And so before we start going there, he was why don't you just come back to my house and we can hang out there. And I feel right there, I should have been no, but I just genuinely wanted to hang out with him more. I had no intentions with sleeping with him. I just wanted to hang out. And so we get back to his place, and one thing leads to another, and he tries. Somehow his pants are off, and I'm fully clothed. I don't have any article of clothing off.
What do you mean somehow his pants are off?
You
saw him remove his pants, or you went to the restroom and he came out of the room and he's naked? What?
We were making out on the couch, and he picks me up and takes me to his bedroom. And then the next thing I know, his pants are off. I didn't take
Okay. Them. All right.
So already I was but I was just okay, wait, you didn't even, you know what I mean? It wasn't, not that you didn't ask me, but it was just okay. And then but I knew in my head, I was I'm not gonna have sex with him. I'm trying to exercise my right and not have sex. And so, So I was no, I don't wanna have sex yet, blah, blah, blah. And he keeps kind of trying.
You said this verbally out loud, not to yourself. Okay, you expressed it.
Yeah, I said this verbally out loud. I was I don't wanna have sex. And he even asked, he was like, well, how long is it going to take? I was like, it's going to take 10 dates, like, just to like fuck with him, because I don't know if I can cuss or not. Whatever.
You can. Yes.
But okay. And so I was just saying that, and he was like, oh my gosh, that's a long time. And I was like, okay, well, not really that long, but yeah. Okay.
His response to you saying 10 dates, even regardless of you trying to fuck with him,
yeah,
totally reasonable number, whatever you want it to be. His first response was, I don't know if I can wait that long.
He was like, wow, that's a long time.
Wow. That was his response. Okay. All right. Continue.
And so I was like, okay. And then, you know,
did you not address the fact that his pants were off? Other than saying, you weren't like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why are your pants off?
No, because it was still like in the moment. Like, it was still like, you know, I still enjoyed it, but like, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm not sure I know what you mean, because you first described it as a kind of a what a fuck moment.
Yeah.
It's fine if you enjoyed it too. I'm just trying to get a clear understanding of the situation, because it would be aggressive on his part, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and context very much matters in these stories, right?
I know.
it's a very, you know, the difference between, oh, I thought it was hot that he took the initiative, or wow, that was really weird and now I'm uncomfortable because you're naked and all we were doing is kissing.
Yeah, no. Okay, so it was hot. Like, it was like, we like, I mean, it wasn't hot though too, because like I didn't want to actually have sex. Like, whatever.
Wow, this is all very confusing. You can want to not have sex and round like all the bases, and you can think a lot of this is hot and still not want to have sex. That's totally okay, right? Like,
right. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It sounds like, while you thought it was kind of, you were surprised by his pants being off in the moment, you still actually thought it was hot, but you felt the need to express yourself just in case he was confused, to let him know that you weren't going to have sex that night. But you still felt safe and comfortable.
Yes.
But the need to express yourself. His response was, well, that's a really long time.
Yeah. Like,
okay. All right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it wasn't too much, but I was like, I'm not going to have sex with you though. You know?
Okay. And so he said that. And then what's next?
And then, so I was like, you know, he kept kind of still trying to like have sex with me. And I was like getting tired at this point, because like, now I'm laying down on a bed and I'm like, okay, now I'm getting tired. I think I'm just going to go home.
Okay.
And so he orders me an Uber home. And so
did he sound frustrated, annoyed? Did his actions make you feel guilty?
No, well, he did feel a little guilty, because I was like, okay, I think I'm just...
I don't care about how he felt. I'm wondering if his actions made you feel guilty for not having sex with him.
No, not...
Was he pouting? Was he, like, throwing a temper tantrum? Or was
he,
like...
He wasn't super, like... I mean, he wasn't, like, super happy, but he also just... But he didn't make me feel guilty, because I felt better that he, like, wanted to order an Uber home for me, like,
sure.
That,
yeah, that's
if,
nice,
like,
sure.
If I had to like get my own and like he was just like, okay, bye, then I'd been like, okay, well, he's obviously not that caring.
Yeah.
So like, that action to me meant a lot more.
It was something.
Yeah, it was something.
I don't think he deserves a medal, but it's nice.
I know. I'm giving him too much credit. But yeah, no, I thought that was really nice. So then when I got home, he texted me, was like, did you get home safely? And I was like, yes.
Great.
And he was like, he's like, I'm looking forward to seeing you again. Like, I had a lot of fun tonight, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Me too. Good night. Literally 5 days go by and I'm like, nothing from him. Like, no text, like, no, hey, how are you? And so I got frustrated, and I'll admit on my part, this was wrong of me. But before we met on our date, we became friends on Instagram. And so I went and unfollowed him and made him unfollow me.
Him unfollow you?
Yeah, because you can do that. What?
So, hold on. You went on a date.
Yes.
Pants off, Ubers you home, checks in, says he has fun.
Yeah.
Then he doesn't reach out for 5 days. And
yes.
Then 5 days later, you unfollowed him on Instagram and then reached out to him via Instagram and made him unfollow?
Like, okay, so what you could do on Instagram, you can like unfollow somebody and then you can remove them from your list, from your followers. Like, huh? Without them knowing. Not like
have someone unfollow you on your own?
Yeah, you can have somebody, you can
what?
Make somebody, yeah, that's a thing. You can make people unfollow you. Look that up after this.
It's, so you did that. You unfollowed you for him.
Yes, because I was like, you know what? Like, if he doesn't want to talk to me, I'm going to take matters in my own hand and just remove him from my life.
That's fine. I didn't know that existed. I mean, that's also more, that seems more normal than you going, calling him and saying, unfollow me now. But you didn't have to do that. You just did it for him.
Okay. And I wouldn't do that. Like, I was like, okay, no.
So that's then, nuts. Okay.
So then so literally 2 hours later after I did that.
He noticed.
He texted me and he's like, hey, how's your week going?
Oh, and he pretended like, he didn't notice.
But... I don't even know. But I was like, number one, yeah, you're not going to address that. And number two, you're just going to like, oh, hey, like how random. But so I never replied to that because I got pissed.
You didn't reply. Okay.
No, yeah, I didn't reply. Yeah.
So these texts I'm looking at, when did this start? Hey, Neil.
Okay. So I sent in the email. And then a couple days after I sent in the email, I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to take matters into my own hands again and just text him because it's going to be the new year. Like, I don't want to have to like, cause like it was like a month or so that went by and like, I was still thinking about the guy. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do something. I couldn't wait long enough.
There is nothing worse than paying a lot of money for fast, cheap fashion, especially when you're ordering clothes online. I tell you, Everlane is changing the game because when you're ordering clothes via the interweb, it's nice to order it from a company that cares about where they're getting the material they're using to make the clothes. In 2010, Everlane made a resolution to create quality clothing with ethical factories and radical transparency. They do extensive research and vetting to use ethical factories that provide fair wages and reasonable hours to the skilled people who craft their clothing. I don't know if you saw the turtleneck I sported on my Instagram, but that was from Everlane. They have high quality clothing. Everything I have from them, I really like it. It seems very high end and well made. And I got to say, when you're ordering clothes online, there is nothing worse than getting something and it just having it look cheaply made and you just don't
know
where you got
it. Doesn't fit well.
Doesn't fit well. You get what you pay for and you don't have to pay a lot with Everlane, not for the quality that they offer. So to get your Everlane essentials like t-shirts, jeans, turtlenecks, footwear, they have it all. Go to everlane.com/VIALL and sign up for a 10% off your first order plus free shipping and get easy returns within 60 days of your ship date. That's 10% off your first order when you go to everlane.com/VIALL and sign up. They got sweatshirts, cardigans, sweaters, slippers, and more. Well, you've heard me rant and rave about Brooklinen, and that is not changing because everything they do is like magic on your body. So whether it's sheets that you're sleeping on, casual loungewear that you're putting on your body, or their towels that you're wrapping your clean body around, Brooklinen is magic. I love them, been using them for a year. Rich and Ricky, the founders of Brooklinen, tried to find beautiful home essentials that didn't cost an arm and a leg. So that's why they started Brooklinen. And I got to tell you, it's been a game changer for me. They work directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without luxury level up markups. Brooklinen has a variety of sheets, colors, patterns, and materials to fit your needs and taste. With over 50,000 five-star reviews and counting, you don't just have to take my word for it. You can take 50,000 other people who also think it's the world's greatest gift. And Brooklinen is so much more than sheets. As I remembered, their loungewear is truly the most amazing thing I have ever seen.
You love their loungewear so much.
It's fucking incredible. It's 2021, so do something nice for yourself and start the new year outright. To help you do that, Brooklinen has special offers. Go to brooklinen.com and use promo code VIALL to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more, plus free shipping. That's brooklinen.com and enter promo code VIALL to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more, plus free shipping. Brooklinen.com and use promo code VIALL at checkout. And then you sent these messages to him.
Him. Yeah. Okay. So, I sent those messages, reaching out to him.
Okay. And I have these messages. I'm going to go ahead and read them to our
audience. Yeah, read them. Tell me if you think I was, I don't know.
Hey, Nathan, she writes, exclamation point. You sound excited. Wow. Okay. I was just thinking about how you're doing. Okay. It's a small lie there, but very vague.
I was thinking.
Sounds very positive. It was more like, hey, Neil, where the fuck have you been? That's probably what you meant. He writes, hi, that's weird since you deleted me on Instagram and quit talking to me, LOL, but I'm all right. Currently in Park City with friends. I mean, it's aggressive but fair,
right?
On the part of Nathan. No, on his message. Yeah. Haha, I know, right? I love how you laugh. It's like, haha, yeah, I did. Haha, I know, right? And yet I still think about you. Okay.
I was trying to be playful.
Okay, fair enough. He doesn't respond. How long did you, before you sent the follow-up text? Was it immediate or did you, because there's another message by you.
It was all within an hour. We were texting.
No, but you write, haha, I know, right? And yet I still think about you. And then you sent another message that says, that sounds fun, 2! I hope you have a good time there. Was that shortly after or is that an hour later?
No, that was right after.
He gives you a thumbs up. That's not good. He gives you a thumbs up, which is he's pouting. What are you thinking about me? ? And also, why did you drop me? He writes. But I was wanting to see you again. Honestly, I felt hurt, but in hindsight, I just handled the situation wrong. Okay, that's fair. I hurt you? ! Well, in fairness to Nathan here, it sounds like he's completely oblivious to what you are upset about, which you've yet to address.
Yes.
In fairness to Nathan, for him, maybe 5 days is appropriate, but you decided that 5 days wasn't. You unfollowed him, and then you reached out to him, accusing him of hurting your feelings. You know, you don't know if he's stupid or not.
I mean.
And you're, just saying.
Yeah.
So he's concerned. He doesn't want to be hurting you. I felt hurt by you. I felt like days after the date you didn't give a shit, so I just put up a wall. But I regret the way I reacted and would like to see you again. Oh, I'm sorry you felt like that. I mean, it's not an apology.
I know, right? Apology 101. Why would you say that? Okay.
But in fairness to him, he's probably thinking, what the fuck is she talking about? I thought I said I was busy through the week and we'd have to hang out on the weekend. Is that true?
I mean, my next message was I had no knowledge.
How are you doing? How are we going to rectify this situation? LOL. Rectify. Not to my knowledge, but it's okay. Thank you. He writes, okay. This is just going nowhere. Haha, you're still replying to me, so this is a good sign. You're having an inner monologue thought that you decided to text him? When do you come back from Park City? Well, I wanted to see you again, and I believe in second chances. He's giving you a second chance? You hearted that message? His willingness to give you a second chance, you hearted? Fuck. I'm back Sunday morning. Would you be free during the day or that Sunday night? Oh, God. When are you free, Nathan? Please. Or another day. Or, I mean, really, honestly, I'll just be available whenever you want, Nathan. She didn't write that. She wrote, in another day since you're just getting back. Possibly Sunday evening. What do you have in mind? And where did it go from here? Have you guys met up?
Sorry, actually, before that, we were talking when he was we had decided, we'll hang out when he gets back on that Sunday. And then we were going to, go watch the sunset and, go to dinner. You know, just try and, make things, happen again. But then he got back 2 days early and he was like, did you want to just come over tonight? And I was like, okay, sure. And so I was going to go there. And then he texts me hey, I think I should get a COVID test before I see anyone, which is told. I was like, okay, you know what? That's great. Yeah, excellent. I agree. And then.
Since he's in Park City doing God knows what.
Exactly. He was we were in sketchy places. So I was just okay, whatever. And so we end the night saying, because I was going to come over, didn't end up happening. And then we stopped talking. And then the next day he texts me, he's like, hi, what are you up to today? And then I tell him and I'm like, what about you? And then he never replies to me. And that was now 2 days ago, 2 days ago. And I'm just is he trying to get back at me now?
I don't know. This is a whole just messy situation. I don't think you should spend much more time worrying about him.
I know.
What do you like about him, other than you had a kind of okay time?
I think he's cute. He's established.
You think he's hot?
No, I think he's cute. I don't think he's hot. I think he's cute.
Okay.
A good smile. Yeah, he lives alone. He has a good job. I don't know too much.
So he's a guy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you don't know, right? You don't know much about him.
Yeah.
Other than he's kind of horny. His response to you saying I want to wait 10 days was a very kind of that sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah.
He's not willing to put into work for sex, right? It doesn't sound like a guy to me who's all that interested in having a relationship. Even guys who don't want to have a relationship are better at pretending.
Right.
So he's pretty clear that he's not necessarily that interested in it. He's fine casually hanging out with you. He has a good time. He's not a total asshole that he'll get you an Uber. He'll check in and make sure you got home safely. Right. Sounds like he's good at the whole making out thing. He took his pants off and successfully made you think it was kind of hot. So he's got moves.
But
he's not really giving you anything else. Do you want a relationship? Are you just kind of looking for a hang and bang? You know, either answers are fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely looking for a relationship. And
definitely.
So, yeah.
And so what about the first date would tell you that he is?
I don't know. I got the vibe because he was talking about second dates, and then he was talking talking about going to church, and he was like, "Oh, I can go with you to church. Go with you." Yeah, that's why
he offered church.
He offered it. Yeah, I didn't even ask him. I was just bringing it up that I go, and then I go on Sunday. You know, obviously. And he was like, "Oh, I'll go with you next time. I'll go with you, blah, blah, blah." And so I was thinking, okay, this guy sounds like a really good guy.
It's one of those things where it sounds really great, but it doesn't necessarily mean much at first.
Yeah.
It could mean a lot, but just because he's willing to sit through church service doesn't necessarily mean anything other than that's what he's willing to do. Might be what he's willing to do to get laid, for all you know. You have very little information about this guy.
I know, very little.
What you do know is that he doesn't necessarily pay attention to what you say you want. And the things that you say that you're not okay with, he doesn't take as clear answers. He takes as suggestions. "Well, I'm not going to have sex with you tonight." And he keeps trying, right? He's not paying attention to you. He's not listening. He's not necessarily even respecting what you want. He's hoping he can convince you to change your mind.
Yeah.
And then when you sound definitive about what you want, he kind of pouts and complains. And then at a minimum, he gets you an Uber so you don't think he's a total asshole. All right. But so I guess, so listen, I don't think this is your guy, right? I think for you in the future, you have this weird pattern of being passive aggressive, but weirdly direct when it doesn't make sense, right? You unfollow him and make him unfollow you, and then tell him that you were thinking about him. So just be direct right away rather than passive aggressive. You don't have to unfollow him. It's so petty. Then you immediately give him the upper hand. Then you give him an opportunity to get mad at you for something he shouldn't even get mad about. He turned the table on you, and all of a sudden you're apologizing and he's giving you second chances. How did you go from being pissed he didn't reach out to you to him agreeing to give you a second chance? What the fuck? How did you do that to yourself?
Well, because I felt like I was in the wrong. I felt like I ran away from the situation when I should have at least communicated that I if I was mad, I should have at least communicated it. I took the
well. Easy- I mean, next time if you don't hear from a guy that you want to hear from, why don't you text him and say, "How's it going?"
Exactly. That's
see if so he responds right away.
That's what was beating. I was beating myself up about it because I was . In hindsight, I would have totally done it differently. I would have reached out and took matters into my own hand in that way versus taking matters in my own hand and unfollowing him and all that stuff.
Yeah. So now you know. So next time it happens, just handle it differently. But at the same time, I don't think you should. I'm not saying he's a bad guy or he's some sort of sexual predator, but I think it's important to realize that he's definitely more interested in getting laid than he is finding a relationship. And I think you can, I've had sex on the first date, right? I don't go on first dates and hope to get laid, but it has happened where we have had sex, right? And I've gone on first dates where I've been really sexually attracted to my date. But if I really liked someone and she said, 10 dates, I wouldn't, my first response would have been, would not have been, that's a really long time. If I liked her enough, mm-hmm. I'd be like, okay. If I didn't like her enough, I would just not say anything. I'd be like, okay, cool. Like, no problem. And then, like, maybe not follow up, or I wouldn't say, let's have a second date, you know? Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, this is a guy who sees your reluctance to have sex as a challenge, not because he necessarily likes you. Mm-hmm. He sees it as a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? And he kept trying.
And that's, you know, probably why he wanted to go on a date with you, not because he liked you enough to wait 10 days, but because maybe he could convince you to do it on date 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And if he really liked you, you said you wanted to wait 10 days. And what did he want you to do on the second date? Is it to come over? I mean, that's not a date.
I don't. I know. It's so true.
They want to come over? That's not a date.
No, not at all. I know. I think I was just like confused with the whole thing, but there's no reason to be confused about it. I feel like his actions definitely speak louder.
Yeah, they do. Right. And that's fine. Like, you just, you need to, he's not going to be honest with himself. And so you just need to recognize the red flags a little bit better. This is a learning opportunity. It's not the end of the world. You know, I wouldn't feel bad. The thing that you can take from it going forward is, when you like someone and you want to reach out to them, even like in a first date, there's definitely confusion around what his life like is like, what his schedule is like. So just be more open and direct up, you know, rather than passive aggressive. It's really hard to get what you want when you're passive aggressive with someone you don't know. I mean, you're just kind of, you're just throwing darts against the wall, hoping something lands. You know, I don't ever advocate for being passive aggressive, but you at least mm-hmm. have to know how someone might respond to your actions, because, you know, it's obviously a manipulation tactic to be passive aggressive, to like try to get someone to do or say something without like being direct.
Yeah.
But when you do that with someone you're dating, you at least know how to like push their buttons. When you do it with someone you don't know who they are, you're just like
crazy.
It sounds like you're fucking crazy. When you try to be passive aggressive with people you don't know, it just comes across as nuts. And you had no, you that's not a crazy thought to feel confused about why he didn't reach out or call. So yeah. Next time, just be a little bit more direct. As far as this guy goes, I think he's just a guy who just wants to get laid and have some sex, and he is willing to try to convince you to change your mind.
Yeah. So regardless,
he sees you as a challenge. That's really it.
Okay. But like, so that whole 5 days that he didn't reply to me, or he didn't text me, would that be like a good indicator to know that he's probably just looking for sex? Like,
not necessarily. It's an indicator that he wasn't super excited about the date. It's an indicator that he liked you and he might follow up, and maybe there's just a lot of, you know, one date can only tell you so much about two people, right? So yeah. All it really told you is that he wasn't like over the moon excited about a second date, because he would have definitely reached out. He would have made plans if he was excited, and that's okay. You can be not excited on the first date and then it can end up being the love of your life, but that's all you really know about that, right?
Yeah, that's so true.
But what he did on the first date was an indication that he was probably more interested in getting laid than anything else.
Right. Yeah, I think so. But I also kind of felt bad, because I feel like it was me that I was like, yeah, we can go back to your house. Like, I feel like I should have probably ended the date.
It would have been,
I think
yes.
that gave him, yeah. I think that gave him the idea that like, oh, maybe I can just get laid by her. And then it like, versus like, oh, maybe I should date her.
Well, I don't think you should feel guilty. You didn't do anything wrong, right? Just because you'd agree to go upset is not permission. That's, you're not giving him permission. So that's not your fault. I don't want to be clear about that. But in the future, yes, to avoid confusion, just trust your gut and go home, right? And there's a good bet that he might try. If you go up to his apartment on the first night, you know, doesn't mean you have to apologize for that. But to avoid those type of situations, it might help just not going up there, setting your boundaries right up front. And it might help avoid confusion in the future.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Best of luck. All right, take care. When it comes to getting in shape and staying in shape, nothing feels as good as feeling of accomplishment, and that's why Echelon is helping you meet your fitness goals. And Echelon is helping you do that by offering their next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, their Echelon Stride Start treadmill, is a gift. No matter what your favorite fitness activity is, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your home. The EX7S is Echelon's latest state-of-the-art innovation that takes cycling to the next level. The EX7S connected bike is built with performance, flexibility, and durability in mind. The EX7S is the bike for competitors at heart. The world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them.
So, and you have one at your house, right, right, Nick?
I have an Echelon bike. It's a wonderful. I used it on Sunday. Go to echelonfit.com/VIAL. That is echelonfit.com/VIAL. Right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. How's it going?
It's good. I'm Jennifer. I'm 21.
Nice to meet you, Jennifer. How can I help?
Yeah. So I wrote in about a situation with my girlfriend. So we've been together for 3 years, and I'm 21. We started dating like a couple months into going to college together, and now we're going to be graduating in the spring.
Okay.
I think I'm just looking forward to that, like, with a lot of stress, because there's a lot of uncertainty about, like, what our lives will look like after that. We don't really know, like, if we're gonna, I'm hesitant and she's hesitant too about planning, like, around each other, because there's so much unknown. I mean, there's so much about the situation, but I guess, like, I'm wondering, like, do you have, like, advice for approaching, like, such a stressful time for a relationship? We're going to be going back to school in February, so we'll be living, like, right next door to each other. With COVID restrictions, that means we're, like, pretty much around each other, like, all the time. Like, we're the only people we see. I mean, I think we also both know we don't want to be in a long-distance relationship long-term, so that's, like, looking ahead, like, something that I'm like, like, if we ended up in different cities with jobs, I don't think we would stay together, but we just don't know. And so, I mean, do you have advice? How do you handle that if it feels like there's a countdown clock on the relationship, or also, like, it's for both of us, it's our first serious relationship. So there's, I don't know. I think, like, the idea of staying together is also scary, because it's like, am I closing myself off to other experiences?
Sure. Yeah, for sure. Is that the only, are there no real main issues in the relationship, just kind of general normal fears that a young couple might experience in a very transitional period in your life?
It's just like the logistical stuff, like if our circumstances don't align, that's like the stress. I feel like our relationship itself is pretty positive. We just don't know, like, what's next. And I don't know how to handle that. Yeah.
And then didn't you also write in, though, there's like her family doesn't know as well, which is a little bit of a stress.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. I don't want to go too much into it, because I feel like it's not necessarily mine to share. But yeah, her family doesn't know about our relationship. So that's kind of another level to it. It hasn't been so far. Obviously, long term, it would be at some point. But right now, I think it's more of a stress for her. So I think I'm mostly trying to be, like, empathetic with it and not. Because my family knows. My family's amazing, and so I feel like I have the support I need, but I'm just like, I know it's really hard for her.
So just to kind of recap, overall the relationship's fairly positive, right?
It is. I mean, it's definitely hard to be when we're apart and we don't have much control over, like, when that is, because of COVID, because of, like, how young we are, but when we have a future date, when we're like, okay, we're gonna see each other this time and be together for this long, like, it's a positive thing. When we don't have that, it's a little bit harder.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think my advice is going to be something that's probably easier said than done, but as you kind of mentioned, it sounds like in addition to having this relationship, which you value and you hope that it works out, it sounds like you, and I'm not sure about your girlfriend, recognize that this is a very important transitional period in your life. And you sounds like you also recognize the possibility that this relationship could work out, and also that it might not. And you're just trying to figure out how to prioritize your personal choices in your life that relate specific to you in your life and the relationships? Is that kind of sum up your general overall concerns?
Yeah, I think I'm also wondering, like, is it just naive and stupid if I were to, like, really prioritize being with her and, like, looking at, like, because, like, I don't know, like, is it stupid to be like, oh, maybe she's, like, the one, like, should I, like...
I don't think it's stupid at all, right? I think...
Yeah.
Whether you're 21 or you're 31 or you're 51, right, you can't predict the future. Like, as you get older, hopefully you have a little bit more perspective and life experiences, and you will be making decisions based off of more information. But you will find as you get older, you can become a little too guarded and a little too reserved and a little too skeptical, because you're balancing, you know, things that happened to you in the past versus someone new, right? And you kind of project insecurities. So it's not necessarily easy to make the decisions that you think are best for you. You know, they're just kind of different decisions. I think you just kind of have to go into this with a level head, right? I think, you know, it's probably safer to knowing that you're young and that you kind of have the world in front of you and this is your first relationship. It's logical to recognize that you just don't know what else is out there, right? You just, and you know, you love your girlfriend, right? That's great. And so it's probably safer to be a little bit more open-minded to the possibility of something else, right? I think the best approach is just kind of see how things go, you know, see if like the long distance becomes an issue, right? What do you want to be after, like, what are you studying? What do you want to do?
That's a great question. When you grow up? Yeah, I'm a sociology major. I'm looking at like jobs and like community activism, nonprofit stuff. Okay. I don't really know, but right now I feel like I'm kind of just applying to anything.
Sure.
I would like to, you know, not be living at home once I graduate. So
have you guys talked about a city you guys would want to live in post college?
There's been like some speculation. Like I know certain places. We've talked about cities like we each individually would want to live in, but it really comes down to like where we get a job, like because it's each of us, because it's not easy to do that right now. So it's just, I think the uncertainty is what's really hard, because like honestly we have no idea, and then we're going to be spending this next 7 months like in very close proximity to each other, which is great, but then it's also like the stress that comes with that.
Well, yeah, listen, like that will be a good indicator whether you guys are meant for each other, right? I mean, if you want to be with someone long term, you should enjoy being around them like 100% of the time. You're always going to get sick of the people you're around most of the time. Doesn't matter how much you love them, but generally that's a good test of a relationship. And if you guys kind of get on each other's nerves, then maybe you realize, you know, not my person. That's totally fine. You know, as far as, you know, this kind of limbo that you feel like you're in career-wise, my only advice to you is just try to be patient, right? Like, trust me, I get it. When I was in college, it was a different time, different economy. At the same time, like, oh, I was so, I wanted a job so bad, you know? And so it was so important to me to aggressively, you know, go to job fairs, meet with recruiters, do interviews. And I was lucky enough that I got a job offer before I graduated, and I started my new job the very next day. And I wish I never did.
Good for you.
Yeah, and I wish I never did that though, right? So my point is, like, your first year out of school, don't panic or stress, right? Don't, if you want to do that, great. But some people choose to, you know, it's a different time because of COVID and things like that. But, you know, if it wasn't a COVID world, maybe you'd want to go to Europe and backpack for a few months with your girlfriend. That could be a really fun, memorable experience. Like, chances are, if you are a great employee, dedicated, smart, driven, you will find someone to take a chance at you and prove that you are a good hire, right? It may not come right away, right? It may not. You might not start working the day after you graduate, but it's not a race in terms of who gets there first, right? So I just try to have some patience. I know there's financial implications and things like that, and I don't know your situation, but my only advice to you in terms of you know, the stresses of trying to find a job out of college, just take it easy on yourself. Like, try to find the right one. To that same point, if you're dating someone, right, and you're just like, well, at the end of the day, it's about where we find a job. Well, if you really love your girlfriend and you think you have a great thing and you both say want to move to you know, you pick out a few cities that you want to move to and that's where you want to do, and you happen to get a job in different cities, it wouldn't be the craziest thing for one of you to say, you know what, this sounds like a nice job, but it's don't know, it's not my dream job, and I would rather have my dream job in a dream city. I don't think it's the end of the world to not take that first job you get offered, right? You know, you just have to decide how important it is to you. You know, don't just take a job just because you are afraid of not having a job. You know, bet on yourself. You know, believe in yourself and believe in your ability to, you know, someone, whoever hired me is going to get so lucky with how hard I'm willing to work. You know, believe in that ability, right? If you're a driven person, you will find it. I have no doubt. And so there's a lot of things in my life that I thought I wanted and I was impatient and it didn't work out, only to have things happen later. And it's the best case scenario. There's a lot of things I have now in my life I wouldn't have if I was given those opportunities I would have said yes to otherwise. Does that make sense? So
yeah, I think, yeah.
So don't be afraid you have a good relationship to prioritize that relationship. And you know what? If you end up breaking up a year later, it's still fine, right? Don't give up your dream. If you have a dream job, if there is something you're just like, this is my dream job, and you get offered that opportunity, then you might have to make some sacrifices to the relationship. But, you know, don't be afraid. You don't feel like you have to take the first job you're offered to in whatever city it is just because you're like, oh, I have to do it, you know, and then sacrifice everything else. I don't think you have to do that at all.
That's actually very comforting to hear, that like it's okay to prioritize a relationship. I guess, okay, my other like follow-up question to that is like, if she is not willing to if she is like, I'm going to take a job in this place, like, is that like a red flag that like we're thinking about it differently? Or is that like a situation where it's fine? Like, I cannot prioritize my job as much.
It depends, right? It depends on how you guys, if you feel like you're in a relationship with someone who is always going to prioritize their needs first, that's sure. That's a potential red flag, right? You know, ideally, if you're going to make a decision, say, not take a job in whatever city just because it's your first job, because you want to prioritize a relationship and you feel like that's not even on their radar in terms of,
then
that is a red flag for the relationship. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't do you any good to make all these sacrifices for a relationship. And then your girlfriend's just like, listen, if it works out, it works out. But I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to go out of my way at all to make this relationship work. You know, I'm going to take the job that I want. I'm going to live in the city that I want to live. And if you happen to be there, then we'll still date. Yeah, that's a red flag for the relationship, you know. So as a couple, if you guys want to say, hey, we love each other, we want to try to make this work, let's see if we can make some reasonable sacrifices and have our cake and eat it too, right? I think there's nothing wrong with doing that. But yes, you should both be on that same page. You should be both willing to make some reasonable sacrifices. And if it takes you 6 more months or 12 more months to find a job that you really love, that I think that's okay, you know? Again, I don't know your financial situation and if you can afford to do that, but if you can, I think it's okay not to take a job that you don't love or won't, you know, be passionate about or won't want to be in. There's, you know, you don't want to have your first job to be something that you're miserable in and you end up not being your best self and you don't end up getting a referral and you want to quit in 6 months. That doesn't do you any good. You know, something that you don't want to end up putting on your resume anyways because you didn't get the experience you thought you wanted, or, you know, it just was negative for you and negative energy and it affected your personal life. Those are things you should take into account when you're making those decisions.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think that's a very useful perspective to hear.
Yeah, I mean, and don't be afraid to call this relationship your first love, and that's what it is. Maybe that's all this person is a building block for your relationship life, you know? Most people don't end up with their first life, and that's okay. There's a reason why, because, you know, you're like winning the relationship lottery if you do. Most people don't win the lottery. It's hard to do.
Totally, yeah.
All right, well, best of luck.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt that you are going to be successful in it, whatever it is that you want to do.
Thank you so much. Right. I will, keep your voice in the back of my head when I have doubts.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Bye-bye. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's your name?
Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. How old are you?
I'm 25.
How can I help?
So I don't know how much of the emails you read beforehand, but basically...
Assume I didn't read anything.
Okay. I've been on and off with this guy for 2 years now, And for a majority of that time, he's, I guess, been struggling with an alcohol addiction.
Okay.
And it's been the main source of every fight, basically, we've had for the last 2 years. Like, we don't really have issues with anything else except when he's drinking, the way he drinks, and what follows his drinking. So we've broken up. He says he's going to get sober. We get back together and go right back to where we started. But I guess 2 months ago, we like broke up. I asked him to move out. And then he's been sober since. So he's 2 months sober. We've remained in contact. He's been, I guess, better. Everything that I asked him to do for like the entirety of our relationship. So I guess now the struggle is I'm still angry. So like, can I get past, is it possible to get past trust issues?
What are you angry about?
The way he treated me and people, I guess, things he did when he was drinking.
What specifically?
Well, he'd just always bail. So we'd make plans, but then he'd go out to drinking the night before and then just not show up the next day.
Generally kind of unreliable.
Yeah.
Okay. Why do you want to make it work with him?
Because aside from the drinking, everything else is good and what I want. We have the same values, morals, want the same thing.
Like what?
Family. What? Marriage, kids.
Okay. I mean, I'm giving you a hard time here, but I just want you to kind of hear what you're saying is that you want to be with him because you have the same values, and those values are family, marriage, and kids, which are great. But my guess is there's other guys out there who also want the same thing, right? So what specifically do you think that he has that you don't think you could find somewhere else?
Interesting. I don't know. I guess the way I feel. I mean, I...
And how do you feel? It sounds like you feel angry, right? Sad, frustrated, confused.
Yeah. But then under that, like, I love him.
What do you love about him?
He's funny.
Okay.
I like that he gets along with my family. He's very outgoing and friendly. And I tend to not be sometimes. So he gets me out of my shell and gets me out doing things. Okay. And
that's nice. And so the drinking, how, I mean, you're not, I'm assuming you're not some sort of healthcare professional that is capable of diagnosing, you know, his drinking, but in layman's terms, do you feel like he's an alcoholic?
Yes.
Okay. And what has he done to get sober? Has he just decided to quit cold turkey, or, you know, is this, as far as you know, solely based off of essentially your ultimatum?
He started therapy. Okay. And he did stop cold turkey, and he is seeing an addictions counselor.
Okay.
And has mentioned AA, but we're in lockdown here, so I don't know if that's even happening right now.
It's good that he's going through he sounds like he's going through some actual steps that are going to help him out. Listen, my advice is, you know, as always, like, you have to consider this guy might not be your guy, right? You met him, you liked him, he's funny, he does these nice things, and he, you know, that, and that's great. But when you say, well, everything else is great, but this is a big problem. When he is drinking, it's as you said, 100% of our fights are about this. And when he's drinking, it's happening on a regular basis. Like, don't discount that, right? Don't make it sound like a small thing when it's taking up a big part of your energy, especially as it relates to the relationship, right? And you are allowed to not get over it. Does it make you a bad person? Does it make you not a fighter, so to speak? Like, there's nowhere does it say that you have to, if you fall in love with someone and they end up having some sort of addiction problem, that you are somehow attached to this person, and it's your responsibility to be there for them, and you would be a bad person if you left because they have this addiction problem that they have to work on themselves. And while it's great he's going through this therapy and it's great he's taking these steps, there's no guarantee that he isn't going to relapse, or this process might be take a while, right?
Yeah.
You know, it could be a couple years before he's really gotten to a place where, you know, you can trust that, you know, there's a good chance he won't relapse. And even then, there's probably no guarantee. You have to decide for yourself whether you really are willing to deal with that. You're still young. There's plenty of other men out there, plenty of other guys who want family, who will make you laugh, who want kids, who will get you out of your shell. Tons of those guys. And ton of those guys who might not have a drinking problem. So you have the right to leave. You know, we sometimes decide that, like, well, I'll feel like a bad person, or I'll feel like, well, I can't leave him now when he's in need. You know, I mean, you can stay, but you also can leave, and neither choice will define your character, right? It won't say anything about you, and you have, it's okay to leave. Do you sometimes feel guilty about the possibility when you consider leaving, especially knowing that he's decided to get help now?
Yeah, for sure. I do feel guilty.
Yeah, how much of that guilt do you think plays a role in your decision to stay?
I don't know if that's the problem. I think another part is that I know that I tend to hold a grudge and I stay angry. Like, okay, Someone rocked me 3 years ago that one time. I'm going to remember it and I'm going to be mad about it.
That's a good thing for you to work out. You know?
So I know that that's something I need to work on. So I'm sort of like, I think it's partially I need to work on that. And I mean, I know I have a right to be angry about things that have happened, but it's just, at what point is it like too much has happened, or is it possible to just trust and forgive?
Sure. Yeah. The answer to all those questions is yeah, sure. You know, it's up to the person, you know, like what I'm saying is he's got this issue he's dealing with. You have just recognized something that you think you could work on as a person. Those two shortcomings that you both have as individuals might mean that you're not the best match, right? Maybe he's better served with being someone who's a little bit more forgiving. And I don't mean that as a bad thing. Like, you know, someone who's, you're not going to go back to, you know, something that happened a few years ago, right? Because while you're working on this, right, he's working on this, it might create too much, you know, bad blood or tension or too much baggage. You know what I'm saying? So it's I think that's something to consider. How much do you wonder if there's other matches out there for you?
Not often. I guess recently I have, because we broke up and he moved out and I kind of just live alone and we're in a pandemic. So I'm like, I wonder, but I think I definitely think about him and what our future would be more than I think about what if there was someone else.
Okay. And when you, do you ever feel like when he was drinking, like, do you ever feel like, think to yourself, why can't you do this for us, or why can't you do this for me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's probably like a dangerous thought process, right? Because it's not really, you know, if he has an addiction problem, it's, you know, that, I guess what I'm saying is that's a kind of a dangerous mindset to have, right? In terms of, oh, well, if you loved me, you should be able to do this type of stuff. And, you know, it's proving his love and commitment to you. You know, if he has an addiction problem, it's probably a little bit beyond that, right? And I think sometimes we have a way of trying to qualify how strong our love is for one another by how much they're willing to do. If you love me, you would do this, you know, type of stuff. I mean, when you start saying that to your partner more often than not, then maybe that is, you're just trying to fit a square peg into a round hole.
Yeah.
And I think, so you'll just have to decide, you know, what's best for you. But my guess is that, maybe you'll get lucky. Maybe it will be all smooth sailing, but it sounds like in your gut, well, let me ask you this. If one of the big questions you had was, well, I don't know if I can get over something, and you recognize that sometimes you just hold on to grudges maybe more than the average person. That all being said, if I was a genie and said, you know what? He'll never drink again. He this therapy he's doing is going to be very helpful to him, and he'll continue to focus on his self-growth. And as a result, your relationship will not involve alcohol. So everything he's done in the past, can you get over it?
I think so.
Well, I hope so, right? That's a big deal. And if you can't, that's okay to a certain extent, but then you're wasting your time trying to make this relationship work. Because what's more likely to happen is that there might be some more road bumps. If he has an actual addiction problem and, you know, it's a disease, right, he's going to struggle. And are you willing to help him through it and not throw things in his face and not hold grudges to some of his things that he has to deal with? And you don't have to do it, but if you're going to stay in this relationship, then you are choosing to do that, and you have to do it with a level of, you know, not spiting him every time he has a downfall.
Yeah,
so
that makes sense.
Decide which one you want and do it. But, like, don't, you know, keep this relationship going and then, you know, constantly, like, throw things in his face when things don't go the way you hope they would or he promised or things like that if he has a real problem.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense, yeah.
So in the meantime, I would focus a lot about yourself too. You know, often in these times when you are dating someone who has this kind of in your face problem, and it's so sometimes we have a hard time identifying the problems of relationship, but it's pretty clear to you, right?
Yeah.
You're focusing so much on him and the relationship, you're probably not focusing on the things that you can control or what you could be doing, right? You know, like things like getting over things. So, you know,
sure,
how much energy you're focusing on this problem he has, if that's too much, then the normal things that take to make a relationship work are going to, you know, be taken for granted.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So, is this your first boyfriend?
No.
Okay. How long have you been dating him again?
2 years.
Okay. Consider all your possibilities. Don't feel guilty if you want to break up. And if you want to stay together, you're going to have to learn to get over things and you're going to have to choose to trust him.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's possible either way.
Sure. But you have to hold yourself accountable, right? Like, you have to recognize if you stay with him, you are going to take a risk. And you have to be realistic about the possibility that it's almost certainly not going to go the way you hope. And you just said the best case scenario, he never drinks again. You're not even entirely 100% sure you can even get over things from the past. So there's a lot of, you know, potential hurdles in this relationship, you know, when you're being honest with it. And so it's hard for people to really have a lot of self-growth while trying to also make a relationship work. And it's even harder when they feel like they have to make amends. And you know what I'm saying? You're like, well, not only do I have to be better from here on out, I have to make up for what I did in the past. It's really hard for someone to do, all while he's trying to work on himself.
Yeah, I think that's part of my problem and concern is I'm like, I need to work on me and you need to work on you, but I don't want to lose him in the process. So it's like, how do we do it all?
It might not be able to happen. And if you want, and to answer your question, how do you do that? You will have to make some sacrifices. Every relationship has sacrifices. And in this, the one you're in right now, the way you describe it, will require you make some sacrifices. It will require you to bite your tongue, but like get over things faster than you're used to do it. And if you don't want to, that's fine. Then do the right thing and walk away. And it might be the best opportunity for him to work on himself by walking away. And you know what? If you guys are, you know, the whole cliche, if you love something, let it go. If it's right, it'll find its way back, you know. But it sounds like maybe you're trying to, you know, make a stew with the wrong ingredients, so to speak, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, there's no right answer, but I think whatever you have to do, just do it without judgment of yourself, and don't be afraid to think about 5 years from now and not about tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what I've been trying to do. So, think of the future.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to be dealing with this in 5 years.
Definitely.
You know, 30 for you, I don't know if that sounds like really old or so long away, but when you turn 30, you're going to be like, whew, you know, 25 is going to feel real young.
Yeah.
When you turn 30, and you're going to definitely wish anything that you felt like a waste of time, you're going to wish you didn't do that. So just remember that when you start doing things over and over and over, hoping for a different result. Hopefully that was helpful. I know, you know, sometimes it's not as clear, but a lot of this is going to come down to what you want and what you decide, and you're going to have to make some sacrifices either way.
Yes.
So.
It's good to hear.
All right. But whatever you do, just don't feel like you are somehow bound to this relationship and have to make it work. And if you decide to leave, you're not a bad person, and you're not selfish. He's making his choices. You have to make yours.
Thank you.
All right.
Yes.
All right. Well, best of luck.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. How's it going?
Good. Hi, I'm Anna. I am 24.
Hi, Anna, 24. How can I help?
Hello. So I wrote into you because I was engaged and actually recently became unengaged, and I wanted to get your input of how everything was handled. So I'll give you a quick synopsis and then jump into my question if that works.
Sure.
Okay. So I started dating my then boyfriend in the summer of 2018. And at the time, like, things were really great between us and everything, except I heard some things about his mom, how she was a little crazy about things, and his relationships. He actually told me that every relationship, that he's ever had before ended because of her. And she's been that reason, but I was like, okay, but things seem fine between us, whatever. So we kept moving forward, everything, and things were honestly great between us. They love me, it seemed. I love them. Everything was good. We ended up getting engaged summer of 2019, a year later. And then we were planning to get married this past September, but it was canceled due to COVID. Everything was running smoothly until the wedding planning. Once the wedding planning started, we both have very big traditional families, I would say. They're much more traditional than my family, though. So when I started pushing back on some of their things, that is when everything kind of took a turn for the worst, and she started not to like me.
Okay. So when you say their things, this is not necessarily his things?
They are. They're his beliefs as well, but I think his parents took it a little more seriously, and it was one of those things where he felt like he had to make them happy.
Okay. Well, that's red flag number one, but...
Yeah, that's red flag number one. Then there's a lot more.
Okay.
So then once I started pushing back on some of the wedding stuff, that is when I guess she started telling him that she doesn't think I'm the one for him while we're already engaged. Like, this should have happened, I feel like, before. She doesn't think I'm the one for him. I don't make him happy enough, she thinks. And she's just worried about him and us getting married. And then he would come around and tell me this and what his mom thought of me. So every time we'd get together, it was a little uncomfortable because I knew what she thought about me and us together. But fast forward now, things were fine between us. He started seeing a therapist and learning how to set boundaries with his parents. And I thought things were going decently well until I learned that they were pushing back and he was kind of giving into them more than I knew.
Are you still engaged at this point?
We're still engaged at this point. Okay. They would have dinners and not invite me. I wasn't allowed to come, so they could kind of talk to him about everything. A dinner that I was invited to, they acted like I was not around. It was just very harsh treatment. So then on this past Christmas Eve last week, he sits me down and he was like, listen, I can't imagine a life without you. I want to be with no one else but you, but I can't keep doing this. My mom's gonna make my life miserable until I end things with you. So he ended things. He goes, I know I'm gonna be alone forever because of her, but this is how it has to go. Like, she's making my life a living hell.
How old is this guy?
He's 26.
Okay.
So my question to you is, he's spinning it as if he's doing me a favor. Like, his family was treating me so badly and he's trying to save me from them. But is that just a lame excuse to say that, like, he just doesn't love me enough and He's not my person.
I don't know. I mean, this sounds like a nutty situation. So maybe it is just nutty, right? Like,
right.
If you, his family, specifically his mom, is so bad and so involved and so manipulative, and that he has just been trained for the 26 years of his life to not be able to disappoint his mother, right, and not say no to his mother and not confront his mother and not be like, hey, mom, thanks for your opinion. I'm like I'm super close with my parents, so close, and quite frankly, not really interested in not everything they have to say. And my parents and I have this a boundary, like, you know, once I turned 18, you know, granted, I have a bunch of kids. They just don't have time to like be helicopter parents for me. But like I respect my parents where they can give me advice, but they respect the fact that I can choose my own life, and I'm not going to disagree with it. And at the end of the day, they love me, and they'll be for me, there for me, if even if I get it wrong, right? They're not going to be like, I told you right. So. That's the relationship I have with my parents. I'm thankful for that. It's not how every family goes, and sometimes moms and dads can be those parents, and that's going to be a fucking nightmare for you if you stay in that relationship. So it doesn't really matter if he's. It doesn't sound like he's using his mom as an excuse, and he just really doesn't love you.
He's just in a hard situation. And that's
no, he's not in a hard situation. I mean, you know, he's 26. He's a wuss.
Yeah.
You know, he's. Yeah. I mean, I guess his mom did this to him. But at some point, if he's going to therapy, like, just nut up and just push back. Right. You know, I'm sorry, your mom put you in this position, and she will guilt him, and what, you know, his mom's a bully. You know, sometimes the parents can be bullies, and the only way to, you know, face bullies is to kind of metaphorically just punch him in the mouth. You know, I don't think he should punch his mom, but like, his mom needs to know that she can't manipulate him anymore. And until he faces his mom and sticks up to his mom and says to his mom, either literally or metaphorically, I am not afraid to lose my relationship with you if you come in the way of the things that I love, she won't go anywhere.
Right.
But he doesn't have the courage to do that. And fuck, he has a long road to recovery before he probably gets to that place. So you have to decide, is it really worth it to you? I mean, fuck.
And that was, my next question, because he said that he wanted to take this next year to work on himself and work on the boundaries with his parents. But it's
great.
Not fair to me to
good
wait.
Luck. Good luck to him. And you should go out and start dating and say goodbye. I mean, I know this sucks, and I know this is recent and you were engaged, but fuck. What a blessing. I mean, this was going to be a fucking nightmare. Thank God his mom brought up that shit. Like, God, could you imagine of her biting her tongue, getting married, and then her being a nightmare when you guys start
and
having kids
happening.
Together?
Everyone keeps telling me a blessing in disguise.
He has a lot of growing up to do, and it sounds like his mom's toxic. Parents can be toxic, you know?
Right.
Just like boyfriends and siblings and friends can all be toxic, and she's toxic, and... You know, that's where it sucks for him, because it is his mom. He loves his mom. He can't imagine hurting his mom, and she's fucked him up for 26 years, and he's probably going to take more than a year to, you know.
To fix it all and get back to himself.
But that's his deal, and he has to probably work on it as an individual alone, and he probably won't be able to do that with you. But if you want to say this to him, maybe you just need to express yourself and say that to him. You know, it's not going to change anything. I would, if you want to say that to him, you're just doing it to get it off your chest.
Right.
It's not because he's going to like the next day be like, yep, yeah, pulled the bitch off, you know, like it's not going to happen.
Exactly. It doesn't change overnight.
You know, it's his mom. He loves his mom, and good for him that he loves his mom. But it sounds what you're describing is an incredibly toxic relationship that is not going to change anytime soon.
It's not
going to
change.
It's going
anytime
to be
soon.
A nightmare for you.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you. I think I needed to hear that.
Yeah. So I think you should just grieve, say goodbye, thank him for letting you go. I mean, the best thing you can do is just not try to complicate it, right?
Exactly. And that's, I think, where I am right now, the complication stage of still talking, and it's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
You
know, it's dangerous territory, because what's going to happen is... when there might be a good chance that if you just say no, and just speak your piece and just be okay. If you act okay and content with the fact that you're right, you know what? I can't be in this relationship. He might freak out and chase you a little bit. But that doesn't mean it's going to change his behavior. So
right.
he's a boy, and is unfortunately his mom, that's partly his mom's fault.
Exactly. So,
she doesn't want him to be capable of making decisions for himself, and he's not. It's a blessing in disguise. Yeah,
it is. It is. Thank you.
You seem like you're doing okay.
I am. I'm hanging in there.
Doesn't it? I mean, aren't you like just like my very first girlfriend, her mom, for different reasons, was a mess.
Right. I mean,
I'm very involved in our relationship. And once I was out of that relationship, I mean, just God, it was just like a weight off my.
Yeah.
It was just like, it's impossible to have someone involved in a relationship that you have no control over. And it's a nightmare. And they start making you feel like, yeah, it's, you know, their mom starts gaslighting you. You start like questioning your own, like they make you question your own insanity, which is what gaslighting is, where you're just like, what am I doing? I feel like I'm a pretty good girlfriend, you know, like I'm not perfect, but I'm like, you know, am I allowed to like have things at my wedding that I want? Like, wait, is she, you know, like, am I nuts? You know, like, and all of a sudden you start like, that's not a relationship. So,
yeah, that's exactly what was happening.
So I'm sorry, but this will be
it's
for the best.
Good. Thank
and,
you.
Just walk away. I think you're the rip the bandaid off. Don't drag it out. Don't talk to this guy for another 6 months. He's not your project. It's not your problem to make sure he's going to therapy or he follows through. He may or may not figure this out. It's not your problem. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's going to have to truly, he's going to have to break up with his mom for a short period of time for this to get fixed.
That's very true. And that's going to be a harder breakup than it was for him and I, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, because he's going to literally have to break up with his mom. And then his mom is going to have to like come back and say, I've learned my lesson. And then, you know,
exactly.
I don't know. That usually doesn't happen.
Yeah. So we'll see. So. But okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Best of luck.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, thanks for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed another episode of Ask Nick. Don't forget to send in your questions at asknick@castmedia.com. Cast with a K. Subscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Tune in tonight for a recap of The Bachelor. And join us again on Wednesday for a wonderful, insightful interview. See you next time. Or see you tonight. Or tomorrow. We'll be around. Bye.